study in the book of Romans. And tonight in our series, we're going to pick up at verse 12. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 12. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 12 says, "For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek." Or you could say, "There's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile." That's the idea here. "For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." That is a... this whole passage really references quotations from the Old Testament. Let's stop right now and let's pray. Heavenly Father, help me do my best to expound the Word of God this evening. What a very practical message we have here in our Bible. What a practical text about the importance of getting the gospel out around the world. Right here in our community and then all over the world, people need to hear the gospel. So help me preach it right tonight. Keep your hand on my message, my lips, help me guide my thoughts, Lord. Direct my words. Fill me with the Holy Spirit now. And if anybody comes in here tonight that's not saved, well, we pray tonight they'll get saved. And for God's people, well, we're asking for a special blessing tonight as we open the Word of God together and study God's Word together. Anybody's on their way, get them here safely. Get them here soon. And give us a good meeting tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Tonight we're going to continue in our series in the book of Romans. I've mentioned this many, many times as we've been going through the book of Romans, that the theme of the book of Romans is the gospel. That's the theme. In Romans 1:1, it is referred to as the gospel of God. Way back in the very first verse, Romans 1:1. In Romans 1:9, Paul calls it the gospel of his Son. The gospel of his Son. Then in Romans 1:16, Paul calls it the gospel of Christ. And then in Romans 2:16 and Romans 16:25, Paul calls it my gospel. So Paul took it personally. It was his gospel. And he appropriated it. And then in Romans 10:15, Paul calls it the gospel of peace. I like that verse. Let's look at that verse. Romans 10:15. The Bible says, "And how shall they preach, as if they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." I might not be particularly beautiful, but I have beautiful feet. Amen? Because the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. Amen. Now, so is the gospel of God, the gospel of his Son, the gospel of Christ, my gospel, the gospel of peace. So the emphasis in this epistle is on the gospel. It was Paul's emphasis, proclaiming the gospel, preaching the gospel. And this should be our emphasis as well. It was Paul's emphasis, it should be our emphasis. Now, in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16... Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. That ought to be our motto. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now, there have always been people preaching a false gospel, unfortunately. But the Bible's clear. The only way to get saved is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then verse 13, for whosoever, that's anybody, whosoever, a Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, black or white, anybody, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, John Phillips said this, The gospel message grips the mind, it stabs the conscience, it warms the heart, it saves the soul, and sanctifies the life. It can make drunken men sober, crooked men straight, and profligate women pure. It is a message sufficient to transform the life of any who believe. Good quote, amen? Well, I got a very simple outline tonight. First, the gospel preached. Secondly, the gospel heard. And thirdly, the gospel rejected. Let's look first at the gospel preached. One preacher outlined verse 13 this way. Verse 13, oh, I don't know how many times I preached that, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, one of my favorite verses. One preacher outlined it this way. It's the broadest possible invitation. Whosoever. It's the easiest possible condition shall call. It's the simplest possible supplication upon the name of the Lord. It's the greatest possible salvation shall be saved. There you have it. The broadest possible invitation, the easiest possible condition, the simplest possible supplication, and the greatest possible salvation. Now the Bible stresses the importance of getting the gospel out all over the world. That's why we have a missions emphasis here. We have to get the gospel out all over the world. If you look at chapter 10, verse 18. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth. Into all the earth. Now, he's quoting from the Old Testament, too. And the Old Testament, obviously, is on the nation Israel. But if you're back in the Old Testament, we see this message. The good news, the gospel, has to go all over the earth. The Bible says their sound went into all the earth and their words unto the ends of the world. So the gospel has to go all over the world. Ezekiel chapter 18 is another Old Testament scripture. The prophet Ezekiel says in chapter 18 verse 4, behold, all souls are mine. All souls. Didn't it say all Israelite souls or Jewish souls? All souls are mine. So God says, all souls are mine. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now, Romans 10, verse 13, tells us that salvation through Christ has been provided for all men. Notice that word, whosoever. Chapter 10, verse 11. Whosoever believeth on him. Then go to verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon him. So it must be proclaimed to all men. Whosoever means everyone. Look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So we need preachers to proclaim the gospel message. And the gospel has to go all over the world. That's the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Notice also verse 12. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Notice, Jesus Christ is Lord over all. The same Lord over all. He's not just Lord over one group of people. He's Lord over all. And he's rich unto all that call upon him. One preacher put it this way. He is ready to pour out the wealth of his grace to anyone and everyone who seeks him. Just willing and able to pour out his wealth, the wealth, the riches of his grace, to anyone and everyone who seeks him. Now there's something else I want you to look at tonight that I think is interesting. In verse 12, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all, he's the same Lord over everybody. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Notice there's no difference. Once you consider that phrase, that statement, for there is no difference. If it sounds familiar, it should. It's way back in Romans chapter 3 and verse 22. We read, there's no difference. No difference. Go back to Romans chapter 3 and verse 22. Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Notice, for there's no difference, for all have sinned. There's no difference. all men are sinners. For there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So in Romans 3:22, we see there's no difference in human sinfulness. Romans 3:22 saying all men are sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no difference in human sinfulness. But now we get to Romans 10, we see there's no difference in the wealth of God's grace, because he's rich unto all that call upon him. Romans 10:12, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, because God wants to save all of them, Jews and Greeks, Jews and Gentiles. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Now, as we study this passage, we notice there's an emphasis here on calling upon the Lord. If you like to mark your Bible, you might want to mark that word call. He's rich unto all that call upon him. And then you get to verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then verse 14. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? So we see that repetition. Verse 12, verse 13, verse 14. Calling on the Lord. The Bible has a big emphasis on calling upon the Lord. But in order to call upon the Lord, sinners first have to believe. Alright? So before they can call, they have to believe. Right? Doesn't make sense for someone to call upon the Lord if he doesn't believe in the Lord, right? Does that make any sense? Why would you want to call upon the Lord if you don't believe in the Lord? That makes no sense at all. Atheists don't call upon the Lord. Not who they call upon, really. But they don't call upon, maybe they call upon themselves, but they don't call upon the Lord. So the Bible says in order to call, they have to first believe. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Right? Then in order to believe, they first have to hear the gospel. Otherwise, how can they believe? What are they believing? Who are they believing in? They have to hear the good news, the gospel. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? They have to hear. Right? And in order to hear, someone has to give them the gospel. That's where we come in. Our responsibility, yea, our privilege, is to proclaim the gospel to everybody, whosoever, to sinners far and wide, nearby, in our neighborhood, at work, our relatives, and all over the world through our missions program. That is our responsibility. So, they have to call on the Lord. In order to call, they have to believe. In order to believe, they have to hear. And how are they going to hear? Unless someone gives it to them. In order to hear, someone has to preach the gospel to them. That's important. Therefore, we need more preachers to preach the gospel. Now let me stop right here. When I say more preachers, I don't necessarily mean ordained men and pastors or missionaries. I mean everybody can preach the gospel to a certain extent. That woman at the well went back to her kinfolk and neighbors and preached the gospel to them. Amen? She wasn't preaching in a pulpit. She didn't call herself reverend. Right? She never owned church, but she was preaching the gospel. Amen? So, in fact, some women preach better than men. I'll be honest with you. Amen? Don't get me wrong. You say that to some people and they say, oh, I can't believe it. Heresy. He's saying women should be ordained ministers. I didn't say that. I mean, the pastor should be husband and one wife. Only men can be husband and one wife. Amen? I believe pastor, evangelist should be a man. Amen. But women can do some good preaching and soul winning. Amen. Sure. Mothers can preach to their kids. Amen. Preach to their friends. Amen. They don't have to be behind a pulpit and be in a formal service to proclaim the gospel. That's what I'm trying to say. Amen. I want to clarify that because some people might get the wrong idea. I'm not changing my views against lady preachers. Don't get me wrong. I'm talking about getting the gospel out. Amen. I'm talking about winning souls. I'm talking about proclaiming the gospel. Because the Bible says they're not going to believe unless they hear. And so someone has to tell them. And I think that includes everybody. Men, women, children, everybody. Now, let's get back to here. To Romans chapter 10. We need more people to proclaim the gospel. Look at verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing. Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we proclaim the word of God. We're not giving our own opinions. We're not just giving our own views and ideas. I've heard people tell me, well, that's just your opinion. I say, no, that's the Bible. Amen. I'm not just giving you my opinion. My opinion doesn't really matter. The Bible does matter. The Bible's the Word of God. Amen. I'm not giving my opinion. They give it to you about. Or they say, that's just your interpretation. Well, that's the right interpretation. Amen? You say people say to me, how do you know heaven's real and hell is real and you got to believe in Jesus to get to heaven? Because the Bible says so. But people try to get around that and wiggle out of that. So we need to proclaim the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Did you get that? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It doesn't say foolish preaching, by the way. Got too much of that going on today. It doesn't say foolish preaching. It says the foolishness of preaching. What does that mean? Well, some people consider preaching foolish. Right? Then people say to you on Saturday, where are you going tomorrow? I'm going to church. You're going to go to church and listen to somebody preach? That's foolish to them. Now, if you said you were going to go to a stadium with thousands of people screaming and yelling and putting paint on themselves and running around and screaming until they couldn't even, until they were hoarse and packed into a stadium and getting stuck in traffic, that's not foolish at all to them. Huh? If you're going shopping all day in a shopping mall, that wouldn't be foolish to them. Or you can do a lot of other worldly things might not be considered foolish. But to go to church and listen to preaching, that's foolish. That's what Paul says. It pleased God by the foolish. It doesn't mean God considers it foolish. He's saying people consider it foolish. You see? The foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, let me just say something. I've said it many times before, and I feel I should repeat it again tonight. Churches today, most churches, are not emphasizing gospel preaching.
That's right.
You know, the other day I was talking to a young fellow, and he told me he went to this big convention center in another city, not New York, and they had a big screen with a preacher on the screen, but he wasn't there. He was some other location. And he said the music was just worldly, all out, flat out worldly music, rock and roll music. And he described this service to me. And then he said, you know what? When I left, I felt like I didn't go to church. And I said to him, you know what? You didn't go to church. That's the problem, you see. And today, they're not emphasizing Bible preaching. They're not. It's not popular now. Many churches have replaced preaching with entertainment. They want to entertain people. And here they got the light shows, and they got the rock and roll music, and all of this kind of stuff. They've got a little dancing in there. Comedy, a lot of jokes, you know. Listen, don't get me wrong. I like a good joke once in a while. But listen, heaven is serious business. People going to hell, that's serious business. Jesus dying on the old rugged cross, that's serious business. Nothing wrong with having a good laugh once in a while, but listen, our business is serious business. The gospel's serious. To get a guy up there laughing, ha-ha-ha, one joke after the other, people, ha-ha-ha-ha. I talked to a friend of mine one time. He went to a church. If I said the name of the church, some of you would recognize him, not that far from here. And he said that he went there, and the preacher kept telling jokes. And every time he'd tell a joke, the drum would go, boom, on the drum. He said it was like Johnny Carson. You know Johnny Carson tells jokes, and the drum would go, boom, on the drum. Thinking I was so upset, I couldn't believe it. And as I looked around, everybody was laughing hysterical. Someone even cried at him so much. What's that got to do with the gospel? Just horrible, horrible. So, modern Christianity is getting away from the gospel. Modern Christianity has little use for preaching the gospel. But the apostolic church spread the gospel all over the world. And you just read the book of Acts, you can see that. How'd they do that? By preaching the gospel. Acts chapter 8, verse 4 says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Did you get that? They that were scattered, by the way, why were they scattered? Because of persecution. But they that were scattered abroad went everywhere telling jokes, went everywhere with their rock group, went everywhere with their big state-of-the-art, you know, entertainment center and light show? No. They went everywhere preaching the word. Amen. Preaching the word. Titus chapter 1 verse 3 says, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. Through preaching. Now in the liturgical churches, you know, liturgical with all their pomp and ceremony and liturgy and formalism, their candles and their pageantry and all of that, basically heathenism, a lot of it is really, and so on. Those kind of churches, the pulpit is off to the side. That's right. The pulpit is way off in the corner somewhere. The emphasis is on the ritual, you see, on the ceremony. But in good Bible preaching churches, the pulpit should be front and center. Because the emphasis is on preaching the Bible. So the pulpit should be in the middle, right in the front. That should be the emphasis. That tells you a lot. When you see the pulpit in the middle, that means the Bible is the emphasis. Preaching the Bible is the emphasis. But some places it's all emphasis on ritual and candles and priests with robes on and costumes. Colorful pageantry. What does that got to do with the gospel? Say, where'd they get it from? Well, according to my Bible, they got it from ancient Babylon. That's why they call it Mystery Babylon. Now, I hear, now I don't get around all that much, and when I do travel, I usually preach in churches like ours. I don't like to visit worldly churches, but I hear that in many of these so-called evangelical churches now, they push the pulpit off to the side. They push it away to the side. I heard in some of them they have a little stool in the front. And the preacher sits on a stool, usually dressed real casual, you know. Got jeans, maybe flip-flops, something, you know. Hawaiian shirt. And says, I'm just going to rap with you today. You know, I mean, if I ever heard that, I'd run out of there so fast. Keep kidding me, man. I'm not making this up. I've heard this from many people. It is a sick thing. We're just going to rap a little bit. No, preach the gospel, amen? Rap. Going to rap with you, huh? Give him a rap in the head. Now, some even ridicule old-fashioned Bible preaching. That's right. They mock us. They laugh at us. A few years ago, I saw a church ad that featured a cartoon. It was an advertisement. And it was a cartoon in this advertisement. We're going to call it advertisement. And it was an ugly preacher. I mean, that preacher was ugly. And that ugly preacher was belching out fire and brimstone coming out of his mouth. And then underneath the picture of the preacher, it said, are you tired of listening to the Sermonator? Get it? Not the Terminator. He made the Terminator look pretty handsome, really. He was uglier than Frankenstein. And he belched out smoke and fire and brimstone. Are you tired of listening to the Sermonator? And then he said, come to our church. Our messages are friendly. We're not going to upset you with messages about fire and brimstone. We don't talk about hell. That's what they're trying to do now. They're making fun of churches that preach the gospel and preach about hell, and we're a bunch of sermonators, and smoke's coming out of our mouths, and we're ugly creatures. That's what they're saying. Our pastor just gives friendly, upbeat messages that are relevant. Listen, I think the gospel's relevant, by the way. Amen? I get tired of hearing this, come to our church, we're relevant. Well, listen, there's nothing more relevant than the Bible, amen? Nothing more relevant than God, the gospel. And they always say, come as you are. You know, that's a bunch of baloney, too. I'll be honest with you. I don't like that come as you are nonsense. Listen, I don't agree with the politics of President Obama. I don't agree with the politics of Governor Cuomo. I don't agree with the politics of Mayor de Blasio. But if they would invite me somewhere, I'd wear my best suit. Hello? If you're going to do that for a worldly politician, what about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Amen? Come as you are. And so I was talking to a friend one time. He went to one of these worldly churches. People were sitting around in their pajamas in church. Hello? Can you imagine people coming to church in their pajamas? And he said some were even drinking coffee and eating donuts. Lord have mercy on America. I'm telling you right now. Because how did America get so messed up? The churches. There you go. We can stop blaming the homosexuals. They can stop blaming Hollywood. We can stop blaming the White House and point the finger where it belongs. Churches have gotten away from preaching the gospel. Amen. There you go right there. Well, we're going to keep preaching it here, amen? Now, Paul lays great stress in Romans 10 upon the spoken word. That is the word preached. Notice the word here. Look at Romans 10:8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So the word here, the spoken word, as it's preached. Look in verse 17, please. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then verse 18. But I say, had they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. Notice the emphasis on words. That's the spoken word, the word of God as it's preached. Now, in order for the word of God to be heard, preachers are essential. And by the preacher, the written word becomes the spoken word. All right? Here we have the written word. And then when the preacher proclaims it, it becomes the spoken word. Romans 10:14. You see? How shall they hear without a preacher? The word of God must be preached. Paul told young Timothy, preach the word! Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach the word. That's 2 Timothy 4:2. Sinners will not get to hear the word of God without somebody preaching it. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26, you know the story. The angel spoke to Philip and said, arise, go down toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is desert. So he sent him to this remote desert area. Today they call it the Gaza Strip. Back then it was just called Gaza, which is desert. Philip went, and there he found the Ethiopian eunuch. You know the story. The Ethiopian eunuch was coming back from the temple, heading back towards Ethiopia. He was sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah chapter 53. Philip asked him, understandest thou what thou readest? The eunuch answered, how can I except some man should guide me? In other words, someone has to explain it to me. Someone has to teach me. Yea, someone has to preach the gospel to me. Well, what did Philip do? He sat in the chariot reading Isaiah 53, and the eunuch asked Philip, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? And then I'm going to give you a quote here from Acts 8:35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Philip preached unto him Jesus. And you know the rest of the story. The eunuch got saved and the eunuch got baptized. And I believe with all my heart that that eunuch, after he was saved and after his baptism, got back in his chariot, went back to Ethiopia and spread the gospel there in Ethiopia. Amen. In fact, to this day, many Ethiopian Christians say we can trace our lineage back to the eunuch. Many say that. Now, in Revelation 14:6, the Bible says that during the tribulation, God's going to send an angel down to earth to preach the gospel. The book of Revelation teaches that. Revelation 14:6. But beloved, think about it. Right now, God has given that privilege to you and me to proclaim the gospel, to share the gospel, to preach the gospel. God can send angels down to do it now if he wanted to. And let's face it, they do a better job than I could. But God just said, I'm giving you the privilege to preach the gospel.
Amen.
What a blessing. Over and over now, over and over, the Bible says, the emphasis in the Bible is on preaching the word of God. 1 Peter 1, verse 25. 1 Peter 1:25 says, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. There you have it. We need more preachers. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We need to pray for more laborers. The harvest is plenteous. Look, I believe with all my heart, God has not given up on the New York City metro area. God has not given up on Long Island. The harvest truly is plenteous. There are people who can be saved, can be reached, but the laborers are few. He said the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We need more men that are going to be willing to step up and say, I'll preach the gospel. I'll go where God wants me to go. If God wants me to preach, with God's help, I'll preach. God needs more women to say, I can't be a pastor, I can't be an evangelist, but I can be a missionary, I can be a soul winner, I can share the gospel at work, I can share the gospel in this neighborhood, and house to house giving out tracts. Amen?
Amen?
The Bible says, here am I, send me, the Bible says, right? Isaiah chapter 6. All believers, men, women, and children have the responsibility to get the gospel out. Either we're going to go ourselves, or we're going to help somebody else go, but we're going to go. And if we can't go far, we can try to win souls right where we are. Some people are stuck in a hospital bed. Hey, they can try to win the person in the hospital bed next to them, amen? They can try to win the nurses to the Lord, try to get the doctor saved, and the people come in, the orderlies to come and clean up, try to get them saved, amen? A lot of people get saved in hospitals, by the way. I know some of the members of our church can attest to that. We have many hospital folks working, members of our church have won souls at the hospital. My wife's won a lot of folks to the Lord at the hospital. Now, there are many different people preaching today But the Bible is clear. They must be sent by God. A true Bible preacher has to be sent by God. I've had people come to me over the years and say, well, God's coming to preach. I said, brother, I don't want to get you annoyed, but I don't think God sent you. They have to be, not really, some people don't like when you say that, but I have to be honest with them. I don't think God sent you. You know, maybe you're confused in your thinking, but I don't think God sent you. But they have to be sent by God. Now look at chapter 10, verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? They have to be sent. You see, God has to call them. God has to send them. That's very important. So, beloved, let's preach the Bible. Let's preach it accurately. Let's preach it fervently. Let's preach it evangelistically. Let's get the gospel out. And let's allow the Bible to speak for itself. The only way sinners are going to get saved, the only way they're going to get under conviction, is when we preach the Bible. Well, that's my first point. I'm just getting started now. The gospel preached, let me say a few words about the gospel heard, okay? So first here in our text, we see the gospel preached and the gospel heard. Verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing. Hearing. Now, by the way, we usually think of this verse in terms of saving faith. Faith cometh by hearing, saving faith. No one can be saved unless they hear the word of God. And certainly that's true. But it also refers to Christians having their faith strengthened. When the Bible's preached, when you study the Bible, faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God, your faith is strengthened. Your faith increases. You see? The more we know the word of God, the more we know the ways of God, the more we know about God, and the more faith we shall possess. W.H. Griffith Thomas said this, the longer we spend with our Bible and getting acquainted with God, the stronger, more practical, and more blessed will our faith be. And that is so true. Now, this whole passage emphasizes the importance of preaching the Bible, proclaiming the Bible, knowing the Bible. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. This refers to the sincere prayer of faith. When they call on the Lord, it has to be out of sincerity. How shall they call unless they believe, the Bible says. Now, in order to call on the Lord, they first have to believe in the Lord. In order to believe in the Lord, they must hear the word of God. They must hear the gospel and understand the gospel. Now, in this passage, by the way, we don't have time tonight to get into it in any great detail, but the Apostle Paul is quoting extensively from the Old Testament. He quotes from Psalm 19, verse 4. He quotes from Joel, chapter 2, verse 32. By the way, in Joel, chapter 2, verse 32, whosoever shall call upon the name of Jehovah shall be delivered or saved. And now Paul uses that Old Testament scripture in reference to Christ. So therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord in Joel. Because in Joel 2:32, when it has Lord in capital case, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, whenever the King James translators got to Jehovah, they translated Lord in capital case. So Joel's saying, whoso shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jehovah shall be saved. Paul, the Apostle Paul here, is referring to Christ. Just look at verse 13. Whoso shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Which Lord is he talking about? Well, look at verse 9. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. So Jesus Christ, of course, is Jehovah. Now, Romans chapter 10, verse 11, refers to Isaiah 49, verse 23. Paul also quotes that in Romans 9:33. And then also, as it is written in Romans 10:15, that refers to Nahum chapter 1, verse 15, and Isaiah 52, verse 7. Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, Nahum 1:15. And then Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And then notice also in Romans 10:16. Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? That comes from Isaiah 53, verse 1. Their sound went into all the earth. Romans 10:18. That's from Psalm 19, verse 4. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Think about this now, tonight. Psalm 19 was written 1,000 years before Christ. So 1,000 years before Christ, the Bible says their words have gone out to the end of the world. Think about that. So the problem, as we can plainly see from our text tonight, the problem isn't that the Word of God wasn't preached. The problem is that the Word of God wasn't heard. The problem is the Word of God was rejected. Had the same problem we face today. It's always been a problem. The problem is not that it's not being preached. Certainly we need more preachers, but the Bible has been preached. Not that it has been heard, but it's been rejected. That's my third point. The gospel preached, the gospel heard, and the gospel rejected. Romans chapter 10, verse 16 says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel." Now, the disobedience of lost sinners weighs heavily upon the gospel preacher. I'll be frank with you. Oftentimes I'll see sinners sitting in the audience and I'll preach my heart out. I mean, I'll really preach with every ounce of strength I have. And then when the invitation is given, they still sit there like this. It's like that song they're singing. I shall not be moved. I shall not. You know, they're just defiant, stubborn, obstinate. You know, it's hard. It's sad. It's really disheartening. You think, what's going to take for that person to get right with God? You preach the Bible, you pray for them, and they just, you know, sit there like a brick wall. So they have not all obeyed the gospel, verse 16. And the disobedience of lost sinners weighs heavily upon the gospel preacher. Week after week, we preach our hearts out, and week after week, we see people reject the gospel. And this unbelief greatly bothers preachers. And it ought to bother all Christians. You know, we have Christians who invite unsaved people to church. And they're concerned about them. They're burdened for them. They're praying for them. And they bring them. They look over to the corner of their eye. And they see them sitting there like, you know, you can't move them. Some people sit there like a bag of potatoes to the whole service, you know. Just no movement at all. You wonder, like, their eyes are open. But, you know, nothing's going on inside there. I don't know what they're thinking. So it just bothers preachers. And it bothers all concerned Christians. Because we know what's going to happen to them if they don't get saved. We know what awaits them. The Bible calls it eternal damnation. The Bible says, Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned." What a sad word. Damned. You know, some worldly people use that, you know, damn, or they say damn. That just sends shudders. I mean, they tremble at that. That's a bad word. Damnation. Sinners who leave this world without Christ are going to be damned. That bothers us. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Romans 10:16. The gospel has been rejected. The gospel has been proclaimed all over the world. The Bible says right here in verse 18, "Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world." The gospel has been preached, but the gospel has also been ignored and rejected. Like the prophet Isaiah, we cry out, "Lord, who hath believed our report?" Verse 16. And the sad answer, not too many. When Isaiah cried out, he, of course, was speaking primarily about his fellow Jews. Look at Romans 10:16. But they have that old obey the gospel. "For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" Isaiah is talking as a Jewish prophet about the Jewish nation. But certainly we can apply this to everybody, all sinners, Jew and Gentile. And certainly Paul applies it to the Jews also. Look at Romans 10:1. Romans 10:1. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Paul wanted to see his fellow Israelites get saved. It greatly bothered him that they were so stubborn and so spiritually blinded in the same way today. So, in this chapter, Romans 10, Paul goes on to say that the spoken word has gone out to the ends of the world. Romans 10:18. So it's not just talking about the spiritual blindness of Israel, but the unbelief of all sinners. It's gone to all the ends of the world. So Israel has no excuse. The Gentiles have no excuse. Of course, the emphasis on Romans 9, 10, and 11 is on Israel. So Paul says in verse 19, did not Israel know? Didn't Israel know? Yes, they were the first to hear the gospel message. They were the first to know. He came into his own, but his own received him not. And God provoked them to jealousy by saving Gentiles. Look at verse 19. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I'll provoke you to jealousy. So Moses predicted that the Jews would reject the gospel and the Gentiles would believe it, and God would provoke Israel to jealousy by saving Gentiles. For Moses predicted that. He prophesied, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Over the years, more and more Gentiles turned to Christ, while Israel has remained a disobedient and a gainsaying people. Look at verse 20. But Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Have you think about those words? All day long. All day long. You try to hold your hands up all day long, huh? God is holding his hands up all day long, the Bible says, to a disobedient and gainsaying people. By the way, that's Isaiah 65, verses 1 and 2. Well, after quoting from the book of Psalms and these Old Testament prophets like Isaiah and Joel and Nahum, Paul also quotes Moses and then Isaiah again. Now, Romans chapter 10, we're going to conclude the chapter tonight. It ends with a dismal picture of unbelieving Israel. They're without excuse. They're without excuse. At this point, one might think God was finished with them. And I have preached in previous messages that some people teach that. I don't believe that. But some people teach that. God is finished with Israel. Some even say the church has replaced Israel. I don't believe that. God has a program for Israel, and God has a program for the church. And we shouldn't get them mixed up. But we have to recognize tonight that it is a very dismal picture. They're spiritually blind. They've been set aside. They're without excuse. But God is not finished with Israel. Go to chapter 11. I say that, hath God cast away his people? What's the answer? God forbid. Paul says, no, God hasn't cast them out. God hasn't finished. God's not finished with them. God forbid! For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. So there's going to be a restoration of Israel. You can be sure of that. Don't have time tonight to get into it, but there will be. J. Vernon McGee said this, have you ever stopped to think how tiresome it is to hold your hands out for a long period of time? Try it sometime and see how long you can do it. It's one of the most tiring things in the world. But then he points out that God has been holding out his hands all day long to a disobedient and gainsaying people. Now what's the purpose of that phrase, holding out his hands all day long to a disobedient and gainsaying people? I'll tell you what it means. God's patience, God's long-suffering. Even though sinners are stubborn, obstinate, rebellious, God is still holding his hands out. So let's not give up on people. If God can hold his hands out all day long, at least we can do is try to be patient with them, try to win them to the Lord, keep praying for them. Amen?
Amen.
And let's do our dead level best to get the gospel out. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to preach the Bible tonight. What a very interesting passage we have here. It just reminds us again of the importance of getting the gospel out. And our responsibility, yea, our privilege of proclaiming the gospel. While the heads are bowed, eyes are closed.